Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the random ship for this week's episode. I'm the captain on your weekly journey, Holt, and with me as always is my first mate and my brother, Alan.
Good morning.
So we're going to spend the next 25 to 30 minutes wading through the waters of the weird, the ocean of the obscure, and yes, the rapids of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship fact.
I will say we are recording this a bit earlier in the day than we normally do, and you can tell in your voice, Alan, you have like a sexy just woke up kind of thing happening.
That's because I just woke up.
Because you don't have a son who gets you up at 6 a.m., so you can actually enjoy a day to sleep in.
Yes, exactly. I enjoy not being awake in the morning on my days off.
Well, it was your birthday this weekend, too.
It was, which was super exciting.
Another COVID birthday, your second COVID birthday.
Two in a row, I'm killing it.
One more and you get a free vaccine. Aside from your birthday this weekend, it was also Easter, which is great. And your nephew had a much improved Easter egg hunt this year over last year.
Oh, did he know what he was doing this year?
Well, if you don't remember, last year he cried the entire time and was afraid of finding the eggs. He was afraid of everything. There was too much attention on him. His grandparents were on video. His mom was showing up. This time, exact same situation, except his mom had to like sprint around the house with his grandparents on video or trying to catch him finding the eggs.
Oh.
We did have a little trouble though with one of the clues. One of the clues was the eggs are in the thing you put on your feet to go outside.
Oh, like socks.
Shoes. This is why he didn't get it either. He kept saying socks, and then we said, no, what do you wear to go outside? And then he kept saying, my jacket. And then he said underwear. And then he said underwear for some reason.
I mean, it's good that he puts underwear on before he goes outside.
Well, which is hilarious because this morning he dressed himself completely. And an hour after he got dressed, he ran up to me and went, uh-oh, daddy, I forgot to put on underwear.
So you're saying he didn't dress himself completely?
He did not. He took the lazy way out until he went and had to go to the bathroom and realized, oh no, I'm missing half my coverings.
Normally I have to pull down two things. What is going on?
I did have another dad story. Is he was making some hand gestures and stuff, and I was like, what are you doing? And he goes, daddy, this is a pew thing. And I'm like, a pew thing? What is that? And he looked at me, he goes, pew, pew, I pewed you. And then he goes, pew, pew, I pewed the TV. So I guess I should be happy about the fact that my son doesn't know what a gun is. And he just calls it a pew thing and thinks it's basically like a laser tag gun. Like, that's the extent of his firearms knowledge. A pew, pew, a pew, 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 pew.
I mean, I guess it's better, but where is he seeing these pew-pews?
I don't know. We did watch Spies in Disguise the other day. Which is an insane concept for a movie. Have you seen that?
Is it a children's movie?
Yeah, it's like a DreamWorks movie where there's violence, like there's drinking and all the and like killing and stuff. But at the same point,
seems appropriate for children.
Yeah, and the whole premise is Will Smith is the best spy in the world, but then he gets accidentally turned into a pigeon and has to do his job as a pigeon.
Sounds much more difficult.
Turns out there are advantages to being a pigeon, but it's still... It was cute, but it was not as... It was just a weird concept where I'm like, someone definitely was super high when they wrote this. It's like, do you know pigeons have 360 degree field of vision? That would be perfect if they were spies. Then no one could sneak up on them. Okay, go from there. What else do we have?
Somehow we're not talented enough to be movie writers, but that guy is.
Oh, people are talking. Your neighbors are. I can actually hear them talking today.
Yeah, sometimes they're real loud. They'll be like yelling and the doors will be slamming. I'll be like, well, this is none of my business.
This is why you need to find true love like they have.
Yes, people to argue and slam the door on. True love.
Love is in the air. Well, moving on from your neighbors, Alan, let's get into one of our newest segments, This Day in History. Alan, today is April 7th, so let's take a look back at other famous things that happened on April 7th.
I'm glad we're not trying to, like, keep our episodes timeless. People know what day they are.
No, they are not evergreen. So in the year 1141, Alan, Empress Matilda became the first female ruler of England, and she did not adopt the title of queen. What title did she adopt?
Lady of England.
Lady of the English.
Oh, that was close.
You were close. You also had the answer, so I'm
I did.
I forgot I had already sent you the answer, so
I had to go with something close, but not right.
Normally, I don't send you the answers, but today we are running short on time, so I didn't have a chance to edit it for you. See, I was the one who was unprepared today.
It's not always me.
I do think it's interesting that they just made her Lady of the English.
Seems like a weird, like, downgrade to queen.
Like, it's worse than queen?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. Lady just sounds like, I guess it sounds like you're more of the people. But come on, if you're royalty, you're not of, if you're an empress, you're not of the people. They know that, you know that. Who are you kidding?
Well, I also think it's like, could be like a male thing where it's like, we're not having her be ruler. Let's just have her be our lady. That way it sounds like she's our lady and not our boss. Like, I mean, it was 1141. I don't think there was that much open-mindedness.
True, but it makes me wonder how much power did she actually have, because if she was actually the ruler of England, she would get to pick her own name.
Oh, there was probably some beheadings. Flash forward 664 years, and we find ourselves in Vienna, Austria, Alan, where on this day, Ludwig van Beethoven premiered his third symphony at the Theater an der Wien.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good theater.
Yeah, it's a great theater name. Also, Beethoven's first name was Ludwig.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No wonder he just goes by Beethoven.
I don't know why you find that so funny. How do you? It's more embarrassing that you didn't know that.
I mean, it's a stupid first name. It's not like people are like, hey, did you hear Ludwig's Eighth Symphony? No, I did not, because I don't know who that is. That's not a real name.
Well, now this makes me want to quiz you. What was Van Gogh's first name? Or Van Gogh? You didn't know he was Vincent Van Gogh?
Oh, saying it I knew, but you can't just put me on the spot. I'm not an art major. I know real things.
Well, Beethoven's Third Symphony was actually one of his most celebrated works. It was a large-scale composition that marked the beginning of Beethoven's innovative middle period, which is right from Wikipedia, which makes me think, what was he doing in the beginning part? He wasn't being innovative? He's like, yeah, this is good, but he's not pushing any boundaries. Like, this is just good music. Like, he's like Kesha or something. Like, he's like, this is popular. But he's not trying to push the boundaries. He's not
breaking the mold
here. Yeah, he's not like Prince or the Beatles or Elvis. He's just like, he's good. But it took him 2 years to compose, and it broke boundaries in symphonic form, length, harmony, emotional, and cultural content. And it's widely considered a landmark in the transition between the classical era of symphonies and the romantic era. So was there just no romance in symphonies before? Like, when I think of symphonies, that's all I think of. Is like, I literally took my wife to the symphony for Valentine's Day before. Like, that's... I don't go to the symphony for, like, drama.
True. Well said.
Flash forward 55 years, and William Keith Kellogg was born, the founder of Kellogg's Cereal.
Oh.
What's your favorite Kellogg cereal, Alan?
I was going to ask you that.
Okay, here's the list directly from their site. All Bran, Corn Pops, Crispix, Eggos, Fruit Loops, Corn Flakes, Frosted Flakes, Raisin Bran, Townhouse, I don't know what that is. Oh, Club Crackers, Crave, Mini Wheats, Mueslix, Pop-Tarts, Rice Krispies, Special K, Vector. So they seem actually kind of boring.
Yeah.
I think my favorite would probably be Raisin Bran, I guess, from the cereal, but obviously Eggo from their overall brands.
Well, I personally hate Eggos.
They kill you, like many
things. Exactly. When I was younger, it would have been Frosted Flakes, but over the past 2 years, I've really grown to like Raisin Bran, and it just makes me feel like an old person saying that.
Yeah, I wouldn't like Raisin Bran. It's the only way to eat raisins. They're like covered in sugar and delicious.
Yeah, and the challenge of always like having enough raisins in each spoonful.
Well, they got two full scoops in each box, so.
True, but the worst thing about Raisin Bran is when you do the math wrong and you end up with just bran at the end of it.
Mm. 1906, Alan. Mount Vesuvius erupts and devastates Naples.
Ooh, that sounds dangerous.
You've been there, right? Didn't you go there?
I went to Pompeii.
Oh, see, you know the real stuff. I know the art. I thought those were the same things.
No.
clearly not. Clearly they are not. But a volcano erupted and killed a bunch of people.
Well, that happens sometimes.
1948, the World Health Organization was established by the United Nations.
Who?
The World Health Organization. They're the ones who tell us all the updates about the pandemics and stuff.
I know, it's a joke.
Oh, because their initials are, yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I don't know if our audience will, because they're not used to you being funny. And then 1954, the infamous Jackie Chan was born.
Ooh, who doesn't love Jackie Chan?
That's what I was going to say. Jackie Chan, he has like a pretty good, what do they call it, a Q rating? That's how the public views you. I think he's pretty good. Yes. Now, his movies have not always been great. But, like, the Rush Hour franchise was pretty good.
Really good.
I don't know. I'm not someone who can sit through those old martial arts movies where they're all dubbed and stuff. I can't do that. I'm not someone who can watch bad movies and find joy. I mean, unless it's Spies in Disguise. Today, in 1969, the internet was born. This is widely regarded as the symbolic birthday of the internet.
Oh.
So, for better or for worse, this was potentially the biggest day in hundreds of years. Like, since, I guess, because you could argue it's probably even bigger than, like, the automobile in terms of, I think most definitely it is, in terms of importance and what happened with it in society.
Yeah, that's fair. It's, and it's everywhere now. That's the only reason I'm able to talk to you, really, right now.
You can't escape it. Well, you can't. I mean, I didn't need to say creepy-like, but you can.
No, you're right. You're creepy, but you're right.
Well, Alan, we found out what happened on this day for the last 1,000 years. Let's see what happened this week in the news. Before we get in the news, we do want to remind you, please tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your family, tell everyone about us. Give us a follow on Instagram at RandomShipThePodcast or send your comments, concerns, and questions to RandomShipThePodcast@gmail.com. Our first article this week, Alan, comes from our friends across the pond at themirror.co.uk. Man asks to go to hospital after fiance pranks him into believing that it's Christmas.
She really put a lot of effort into this.
She did. Now, I think you and I are on the same page about this. We're not people who really enjoy pranks.
No.
Like, I don't find them funny, but this is well thought out, and no one got hurt. Like, it was just pure hilarity.
Yeah, and honestly, a little too much effort from her, but she nailed it.
Oh, yeah. I think that amount of effort was necessary. So what she did was she waited for her fiancé to go to sleep. Then she decorated the entire house like they have it at Christmas. She changed all the clocks, including his phone, to be December 25th. And then she even got some friends involved so that the next day, when he, in the middle of his confusion, the friend came over and said, hey, I just wanted to wish you Merry Christmas. I'm going to go see my parents now. And then and her fiance was so bewildered because obviously he lost like 9 months of his life that after a couple minutes asked if she could take him to the hospital because he thought he had gone insane. That shows the attention to detail that she had.
Yeah, I mean, she either this guy is super gullible or she did an excellent job. And they don't actually say if he went to the hospital. I assume not.
Yeah, that would have been too far. That would have been
just
like...
Just kidding. But...
Like, but the other question is, that would have been awesome, though, if she somehow got the mental hospital to, like, be on board. And then,
nah, it's Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas. You don't know. Next article, Alan, comes from the Huffington Post. Georgia man receives final paycheck of $915 in oil-covered pennies with an FU note. This is like the opposite of the last article.
Yes.
The other one was like good-natured and fun, and this is just a guy being a jerk.
Yeah, this is so toxic. Like, that's so many pennies.
It is 91,515. And the interesting thing about the penny is the penny is actually, in Canada, we stopped making pennies because they cost more to make than the actual
value of the
penny, which means that this guy actually got like a deal. Like he got, this guy worked at an auto parts shop or a mechanic or something. He quit, gave 2 weeks notice, but the boss made his first week so unbearable that they both agreed that he would leave after the first week. And it has been, I think he resigned in like November. So it's been 4 or 5 months and he still hadn't had his final paycheck. And then this week, in the middle of the night, it looks like, according to the video, 90,000 pennies were dumped in his driveway and they were covered in like motor oil.
Yeah, this is so bizarre. Like, I don't know. This seems like so much work for the guy who did it just to make work for this other guy. I don't know. It's
like, where do you even get all those pennies? No, seriously. Do you go to the bank doesn't have 90,000 pennies lying around.
No, I'm with you. Maybe that's why this guy took so long to pay him.
Well, that's the thing. And they say that he basically kept asking him like, hey, I need my paycheck. I need my paycheck. And then eventually he said, okay, it's been like 3 months. I'm going to get a lawyer involved. And that's when these pennies showed up. It's basically like an, and it literally said F you to the guy. I don't understand this guy's thinking because obviously the name of your business is going to come out. If you did this, there's nothing that you've done here that is like, oh, that, because you know how sometimes on Yelp and like TripAdvisor and stuff, if there's a particularly really bad customer who tries to destroy your business reputation, you sometimes get a boost by standing up to them and being like, actually, here's what you did. You're a bad person. Like, you know, like all that stuff. And people are like, yeah, give it back to the self-righteous customer, you know? But this, the guy just quit. And over sour grapes, this guy decided to do all this. And it's like, you're in the wrong. Your company is now going to be dragged through the mud because of this. And did you read his response when the news reached out to him?
Yeah. He told, well, one news outlet, he told that he had paid this other gentleman in U.S. currency and did not wish to speak further on the matter.
Which is true.
Which he is true. And then a separate news outlet, he told, I don't know if I did that or not. I don't really remember. It doesn't matter. He got paid. That's all that matters.
And then he called him a weenie for even complaining.
Yeah. Well, how dare you want the money you worked for?
How dare you complain that I gave you 91,000 pennies? Like, and he called him an effing weenie, which is funny because it's like he was trying to sound tough.
And then called him a weenie.
Called him a weenie. That's like someone who's like, you're an effing so-and-so. It's like, oh, you want to eff with me, you little silly billy? Like...
It seems like this guy just keeps embarrassing himself.
He does, and he will get what's coming to him.
I hope so. I don't know if I did that or not. You don't remember whether or not
you yeah, now took you're
90,000 pennies, covered them in motor oil, and dropped them on a guy's driveway? You don't remember whether or not you did that?
Also, by saying that, you're kind of saying, I don't know if I did it. I guess I still owe him the money. Like, now you have to pay him twice, potentially. I mean, you saved it by the next session, next sentence by saying he got paid. It's like, well, then you did do it. Like, you did. You, clearly.
Like, did you pay him in some other way?
I paid him with $900 worth of motor oil.
The pennies were just to make the motor oil useless.
Yeah, if not, the motor oil would have just dripped all over his driveway and gone into the gutter. Now it is stuck to the penny. I always said, how would you like me to pay you? And it took him 3 months to get back to me. He kept saying cash, and I kept saying, oh, well, I only do check. And he said, well, if you're just going to give me a check, I'd rather you pay me in motor oil. And then this is what happened. Next up, Alan, comes by way of Fox News. Mafia fugitive caught after YouTube cooking show accidentally reveals his identity. If you have two skills, one of which is killing people, and the other is making delicious Italian food, and you're on the run from police so you can't kill people, this just seems like a natural career progression.
Does it? Does recording yourself when you know you're a wanted fugitive and posting it on the internet for anybody to see sound like a good idea?
I'm curious to know how many videos they have. Like, is this... because they say he's been... basically, this Italian mafioso went to Dominican Republic and has been staying at essentially a beach resort for the past 5 years, evading the law, and they had no idea where he was, and they found him because someone tipped them off to this weird Italian cooking YouTube channel where the chef's face was always blurred out, which, honestly, I think it probably would be better if you just, like, didn't blur out your face.
But then they would be able to tell who you were.
I know, but then it wouldn't be suspicious at the same point, right? You know, true. Like...
at least he could have covered up his tattoos and stuff.
Yeah, he could have worn, like, if he wore a sweater, this would all be fine. They still would not have found him. Because basically, he has tattoos that are very unique to him all yeah. over his arms. And when the cops saw the video, they were like, oh, there he is.
Just get a turtleneck, long sleeve turtleneck. He would have been perfectly fine. Nobody would have seen.
But he was in the Dominican. So it was too hot.
True. So it's better just to get arrested.
But the irony is, he was cooking from an indoor kitchen, so just turn on air conditioning. Then, like, maybe he was just so proud of his guns, like his big old muscles, that he just always had to have his guns out.
See, that seems like it's not worth it.
Well, in hindsight, yes. But at the time, sex sells, Alan, so maybe he was trying to be the sexy mafia chef.
I mean, if that was the name of his YouTube channel, that's literally saying, hey, I'm in the mafia. Come watch my videos. Police officers who might be trying to arrest me.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a BuzzFeed video. Have you seen those? They always suggest me, like... the most random things. It's like, okay, we're going to have BuzzFeed. We take a professional Michelin star chef and give him a box of Kraft dinner. And we take a home cook who doesn't know what they're doing and give them $1,000 worth of macaroni and cheese ingredients. Let's see whose is better. It's like, well, do we care? Why do we care about this? Why? I'd rather watch sexy mafia boss. But it is suspicious. Like, if we did our podcast and our entire podcast was in, like, a weird voice changer thing, people would be like, wow, these guys are... what a risk for them to take. They're not even, like, giving criminal information out. They're just talking about random stuff. Why are their voice changed, right? It's the same as this. It's like, you're just making Italian food. why is your face blurred out? That's weird.
Yeah, it's he definitely did not help himself with that decision. Also, not covering his arms. But hey.
And finally, Alan, your favorite website, Audie. New Mexico man finds 15,000 bees in his car.
That seems worse than 90,000 pennies.
It does. I don't think we need to spend long on this, other than the sentence that's like the third sentence in the article that says he didn't recognize that the 15,000 bees were in his car until he had already driven for like 10 minutes.
That's the kind of thing that you notice. Like, how do they... That's a lot of bees.
I know bees are small, but 15,000 of anything, like, that's a big noise. Like, they make, like, one bee, you're, like, scared for your life. Like, 15,000... Unless you're Australian, then you're like, oh, my pet bee. But this is the least deadly thing that we have here. But then if there's, like, 15,000 individual bees all buzzing about, how loud are you listening to your podcasts that you can hear? And how did they get in there? Because apparently he just went to the gas station for 10 minutes, came back to his car, and there was 15,000 bees in there.
He left the window down.
And they all went in there? What did he have in there? What do bees like? Did he have a bunch of flowers in the back that needed pollinating? Like, what is happening?
15,000.
It is very... convenient, though, that when he called 911, because that's all he could think to do, they happened to have an off-duty firefighter whose part-time hobby was being a beekeeper.
That is convenient.
Who could come down and help him. It's like, oh, that works out. Thank goodness you were in this county. If you called from another county, you would be screwed. You'd have to eat all the bees.
It's the only direction to go.
Or let them sting you and die. Because isn't that what happens with bees? You get stung and the bee dies?
I am not a bee scientist, but I have heard that.
There we go. At least you know the answer to something. Before we dock for the week, we did want to remind you to follow us on Instagram at randomshipthepodcast or hit us up on email at randomshipthepodcast@gmail.com. Alan, what's this week's ship fact?
This week's ship fact is... The deck of the ship is the floor of the ship, especially on the upper open level, extending the full length of the vessel called the main deck. There are also decks below the main deck, with some names such as the forecastle deck, the shelter deck, the weather deck, and the berth deck, just to name four off the list of 70 that I saw.
What's funny is when you said berth deck, I was like... Is that, like, where the people give birth when they're on the ship? But I realize that's probably the beds. Probably the beds.
Yep. Not where pregnant people go to give birth.
Yeah, not B-I-R-T-H. Yeah. Well, Alan, it has been another great episode here. A good voyage on board the random ship.
Have a great week, everybody. Normally, I have to pull down two things. What is going on?